This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and I'm like Cruella De Vil, only for armadillo foreskins. I don't know. It was in the drafts. So that's what you're getting.
Visual draft o'clock, baby. I'm Brandy Posey, and by the end of this episode, my nail polish from 3 days ago might actually be dry.
Yay!
I'm Fingers Tess Barker, crossed. And are they called chickpeas because girls love them?
The big questions.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone, that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies to Lady, Ladies to Lady.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. There's a garbage truck outside.
Ooh, so I can't hear it.
You're welcome.
That's just for you, Babs.
If you're a dog, and you might be here. If you listen to this podcast and you're a dog, you're welcome for the excitement.
You might be losing your mind right now.
Sorry for the rough start of this episode.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
I have to say this. I want to make sure I do good at promoting this, but this comes out. Okay. My first album should now be available for you to listen to. My first comedy album, it's called If I Did It, and I did it with a Special Thing Records, and it's out now, so go buy it. Find it Yay. On iTunes. Is that where people buy it?
I think so.
Find it on iTunes. Find it on Spotify.
Does iTunes still exist? Whatever the fuck it's called.
I think when you say iTunes, I hear the Apple thing.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
This is not a good promotion for this. But anyway, I recorded it like a few years ago. It took me for fucking ever to actually get it done. I'm very proud of it.
Very
Please
proud
go
of you.
Buy it. And it comes with a little pin of my face that says Babs Great. It's really cute.
So that's sweet.
Yeah, so
it's very funny. Babs and I, or Tess and I, opened for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tess and Brandy were there supporting me and opening for me, and it was you know, it's like my first 10 years of jokes basically. So it's all in one place. It's called If I Did It. If you get the reference, good for you. If you don't, maybe you just think it's a random name. That's fine. Many people's reactions has been really really interesting. So yeah, that's all I got. Should we bring on our guests? You guys have anything
yes,
you want to pump?
Do it.
Okay.
Let's bring on our guests.
No. We're just going to pump up our guests, hey, because they're great.
We're here to pump you up. Okay, old SNL.
Deep cut.
Reference. Mm-hmm. We're very excited. They have an amazing podcast together called Forever 35, which I love the name of, where they talk about self-care and just, you know, do what we do, which is gal talk between friends. They're both writers as well. Dori Shafir, her first novel, Startup, came out in 2017. And she has a new book that you can get right now called Thanks for Waiting, The Joy and Weirdness of Being a Late Bloomer. So go get that right now. And also we have Kate Spencer, the author of the memoir, The Dead Moms Club. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay. Sorry for that long, like, you know, it's good. How do you feel saying your things at you? Is it a good feeling?
Well, it's weird because we do it to other people. And and actually, we just got feedback from a listener that was like, please stop. It's so awkward when you make the interviewees sit and listen to their bios. And we were like, well, we've been doing it for 3 years. So that's 3 years of awkward. So
it's, you know, it's funny because we all work our asses off for years and years for like these things that come out once, you know, once every 5 years or something. You're like, I have a book, but then you feel weird whenever someone mentions.
Yes.
Yeah, totally. I think that's one of the most important things and I think for me, one of the most difficult realities to accept is like, you've just got to probably be a bigger douchebag than you want to be. It sucks so hard. But like, just like how when you're publicly speaking, I always say like, go way slower than you think you should. Be a bigger douchebag than you think you should be.
Well, and chances are you aren't coming across as a douchebag to anyone but yourself. It just feels...
Exactly. Yes. Tess, I've been thinking about that a lot because I'm like, oh my God, I'm posting way too much on Instagram about my book. I'm talking about my book way too much. And it's just like, no, I'm not. But it, to me, it feels like because I'm not used to just like talking about it at all.
Exactly. I think it's like the psychopath rule applies, where it's like if you ask yourself, am I a psychopath? Am I a douchebag? Then
yes.
Probably not, actually.
Well, no, that's the thing is if you're worried about it at all, that means you're not doing it too much.
Right. Yeah.
No. Well, and I try to put myself like, okay, how do I act when I see a friend promoting this project that I know that they have been working their ass off on? I'm like proud of them. I'm like, hell yeah, that's great. They're doing that thing. I'm not like... Why did she post another story about that thing? Like, no, I'm just like, totally. That's great. They have that going on, you know?
It's hard. It's like when you have to ask somebody for a favor. And ultimately, like when anyone asks me for something, I'm normally like pretty psyched to help out. But if I have to ask somebody for something, it's like I'm asking them, like it feels horrible. It feels like the worst thing I've ever had to do. And people are inherently nice. And I often forget that. I don't know.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That is so true. And like, that's right. Cause like, especially I think like when you can have the experience of like someone asking you a favor and you are in a unique position to really hook them up. Like it's actually like a great feeling.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. It's not asking for a favor. It's giving your friend the opportunity to help you.
Oh, I like that.
Ooh, I like that.
We're just gonna take it. I don't know.
We talk about reframing the narrative on our show a lot. That's like a phrase that comes up, and you just nailed it.
Yes.
Ooh.
Well, I am 37, so
there you go. Wisdom comes with age.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so funny when speaking of forever 35, forever 21. Every time I don't know if you guys have done this recently, but I was like, well, it's time to re-enter the world. I should buy clothing that aren't simply these, which is mostly what I got, which is sweatsuits.
I've had this hoodie for 12 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I usually shop at like Crossroads or Buffalo Exchange or somewhere that has like cute used clothes or whatever. Mm-hmm. And every time I find something cute, it's always like Forever 21. And I'm like, I can't get away from it.
Yes, I have had that experience so many times. And I'm like, I'm duped again. I was ready.
I'm like, I'm trying to evolve, but it's just not happening.
Honestly, I'm glad that Forever 21 clothes are making it to Crossroads and people aren't just like throwing them out or, you know, because...
Totally.
It's such like fast fashion. People think that it doesn't last at all. But, you know, if it's making it to Crossroads, maybe it's better quality than we think.
Yeah, some of them don't just disintegrate in the sunlight.
No, exactly. Yeah. And like, I don't know. Has anyone else? You know how like sometimes you'll have like that random salad dressing that just randomly tastes good for like 3 years? And like, you're like, should I throw this out? It still is fine. You know?
Yes.
I have that with some Forever 21 tops where I'm like, this should not still exist. But for some reason, I've had this since college.
I have had that with... Like also with H&M tops that have just lasted for like a decade. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't have doubted your quality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I got the good one time.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's certainly not across the board, but those random outliers, hats off.
Amen. Totally.
Yeah. Well, this is all great because the CEO of Forever 21 does listen. So shout out. No, we don't know.
Hello.
We don't. That's a joke.
That's definitely an old white man. So no.
Yeah.
I doubt they listen.
Isn't Forever 21 also deeply problematic? Like, isn't there something there?
Well, they steal art from people constantly. Yeah.
They're also very Christian. They have. They have like In and Out. You know, they have secret Bible. I think they have secret Bible quotes on their bags.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't know any
of this. Okay, say what you will about In-N-Out, because like this, first of all, it tastes so good that I'm like, I don't care that you're secretly Christian. But like they also, and I'm a vegetarian, so I'm really like the last person to be like, go beef. But I will say about In-N-Out, like they do... At least from outward appearances, like they always have like paid their employees kind of better than other companies. They source their like food from like farms that are nearby. Like as far as like fast food goes, I feel like In-N-Out does like a decent job. Whereas Forever 21 is just like ethics. What fucking ethics? We steal all of our designs. Like this is made by people who are not getting paid enough. And they're just like so flagrant that to me makes it even funnier that they're like
a secret Christian company.
Right. I know. their values do not align with what they, with how they make their money.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, exactly.
Not that In-N-Outs necessarily do either. And like I said, fuck
yeah, that story about like Jesus going into a church and like flipping the tables of all the vendors and stuff, they stopped reading before that part happened. They were like, oh yeah, vendors in a church. Let's make some money, baby.
They're like prosperity gospel.
And God, I know.
For themselves.
I don't know that story, and I thought you were going to say flipping burgers.
Mm. No, yeah, Jesus worked a Good Burger. That's where the good book comes from.
Hell yeah.
I actually did not know there was a Jesus table flipping story either. And that's really funny. Like, it reminds me of like the Real Housewives. Like, you always see those gifts of them flipping tables.
Oh, honey, the disciples were very dramatic.
Yes. No one talks about what a messy bitch Paul was. Absolutely.
So you guys, you know, you podcast about self-care, which I'm sure has been a intense subject over the last year.
Definitely can be.
How do you feel about like coming, you know, like I said, coming back into the world and like, yeah, how are you feeling now? Or do you have you been talking about like tips and ways to re-enter society?
We have, but like, I don't know if I have any. Like today I actually did go to a mall here in Los Angeles called the Americana, and I was at the Sephora and I like didn't know how to shop. It was so confusing. Like all of it, just the human interaction and the constant salespeople approaching me. And then when I got to the counter, I didn't like give the person my stuff. I just like stared at that. It was very weird kind of having to relearn human interaction. And then of course because I'm a very self-deprecating person, I keep setting up the fact that I don't know how to interact. So I'm like, I haven't been out in the world, you know, so sorry about this. And I feel like I'm going to do that for the next 10 years and I need to cut it now. So I don't know, Dory, do we have tips? I think we are getting a lot of questions about it because it's definitely a thing people are feeling.
I mean, we're all doing it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing that has been coming up is people being like, oh no, like FOMO's back. Like
yes.
You know, more than a year respite from FOMO because no one was doing anything. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh wait, like people are going out, but I didn't get invited to dinner and, you know, stuff like that. And I think that's going to be challenging for people. And, you know, I'm just trying to like be zen about it and also not overwhelm myself. Like, I think the temptation to make like a million plans is there because I'm like, I can see my friends, but it's actually like exhausting and we need to kind of tiptoe slowly out, you know, out of the cave. And so I'm trying to just kind of like take things slow, be kind to myself, not get too much FOMO and just kind of try to like keep things zen.
Totally. Yeah. Well, and it's like social interactions, like I found in like groups bigger than five or six have been like, I feel tired after them now, which didn't really happen before. So it's just kind of like pacing yourself with stuff.
Totally.
Yeah. I definitely, it's so interesting, the FOMO of it all. And I think like, and I know like Dory, your new book is about kind of like blooming later on and kind of just like dealing with these things as we get it, like being social and stuff as we get older. Mm-hmm. And I do find that I'm like having FOMO, but I also don't give a shit because I'm like, I don't really want to do that.
Right. Right. Well, and I think that the pandemic has made us all kind of reevaluate like what our priorities are and what we really want to do. Like, I think for me, it's like if someone asks me to do something now, I will really think about like, is this something that I want to do, you know? Someone was saying that like we used to if someone like invited you to something you didn't want to do, you would say, yeah, I'll try to make it, or like maybe I'll come. And now I think we can all just be like, no.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Like, let's just all make a pact to be honest about when we're gonna do something and when we're not.
Yeah, I think we were kind of forced to learn some boundaries.
Yes, totally.
Quite literally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know for myself, I feel like I kind of have a different problem, which is I'm very socially anxious and I've always been worried about hosting and like, are people having fun? Like I couldn't enjoy my own wedding because I was so like nervous about how everybody was feeling. And the other day I was sitting alone in my backyard and I just said to like nobody, I was just like, I'm lonely. And I just like, I just kind of realized, like, I think I'm it's taught me not to give as much of a shit about work. Like, other people are fine. Mm-hmm. And
right.
it's really helped me kind of understand how sincerely I love just being around humans, and how, like, that has so much value. And I tend to have, you know, I've kind of ignored that for the last 10 years, but mm-hmm. God, it's fucking nice to be around people. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, you kind of get why podcasts are so popular, because we're, mm-hmm. you know, it's just like having a friend in your ear. And I think it's just been such a lonely time mm-hmm. that even if we are very clunky and awkward and figuring all this stuff out, I think just getting to be around people is going to be really satisfying again.
For sure. And it does, like, feel like we also, like, got to kind of drop everything, but that also means we can pick back up what we want. And mm-hmm. I think try to be cognizant of what we don't want to pick up too.
Yeah. But, you know, the other thing that I'm trying to also be cognizant of is I don't want to, like, cut my social circle so small that I only see, like, my two or three, like, super close friends. Like, I do think mm-hmm. that there is value in kind of the casual interactions definitely. That we had yes. with people before the pandemic that mm-hmm. I've kind of, like, forgotten how to have. Mm-hmm. And I, like, want those back, you know? Like,
yeah, I found that this whole time, that's what I've kind of missed the most, because I did, you know, I think most people found a way to keep in touch with the people that were already in, like, their yes. very most inner orbit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I am, like, a very extroverted person, so I've always kind of enjoyed, like, just seeing a bunch of people in one place and being able to, like, bebop around and talk to a bunch of different people. But yeah, like, those were people that I have, like, maybe had casual interactions totally. With, but over, like, a long period of time. But now I haven't seen those people for right. a really long time.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, the people you would, like, run into at a party and be, like, excited to see them, but not someone who you would, like, get a one-on-one drink with.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting when your core group kind of becomes very clarified. And totally. Then you're like, oh, but yeah, I don't have these kind of, like, I would like to catch up with them, but they're not somebody I'm just going to, like, text out
right,
of the blue.
Right, right, exactly. Like, that's, like, driving my FOMO, because I'm like, please invite, like, please have, I'm fun. Like, invite me to go have fun.
I keep, yeah, it's so funny, because I keep saying things and be like, I'm fine. Like, I just don't. I think I'm like, really having I'm struggling. I don't know if struggling is the right word, but I'm definitely having, like, a come to Jesus, I guess you could say, about just, like, because I'm, like, I was such a big partier throughout my 20s and up until, you know, like, very recently. I mean, you know, till mm-hmm. I could not be because of the pandemic. And I just am, like, finding myself getting very averse to, like, party, like, people just, like, going too hard and stuff, because I don't know what it is. I mean, it's probably just me getting older, but we went to the beach for Adam, my boyfriend's birthday, and we just stayed, like, one night. We were right in the center, like, next to the fucking, like, party zone, and it was just wild walking around and watching people, and I was like, I don't want to do any of that. And it was it's kind of like a weird moment where I'm like, it's okay to change that, obviously, but that's, it was such a part of who I was, so yeah. I'm trying to, like, figure out who I am now. Well, you know,
it's also interesting because the experience of quarantine, pandemic, whatever you call it, mm-hmm. it's has felt so, like, stationary, but we've also aged. Like, we're all now yeah. almost a year and a half older than when we started. And even though, like, the concept of aging is kind of bullshit, like, you also do change. Like, I am, like, deeply mm-hmm. into a middle-aged identity now. Yeah. And marvel at the fact that I used to, like, stay out until 6 a.m. on a regular basis and still function in society. And like, we have still developed personally, professionally, emotionally, spiritually through this time, even though it has kind of felt like such a stalemate. And that's kind of a weird reckoning to deal with. And I'm still processing, like, how I've changed over this time myself. But I think that's a normal evolution. I like that for
you. Oh, yeah, totally.
I love it.
I just, yeah, it's just an interesting, because it is that thing where I'm like, oh, I'm just getting older and this is what I want to do, but it still feels, yeah, like, I'm like, can I, it's all, or for some reason in my head, it's like all or nothing, yes. which is probably not true, yeah. but that's how it feels, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's another thing that I think was kind of cool about the pandemic, is it forced people to realize, like, how fluid their idea of themselves is. It's like, just because you've told yourself this story about what you were for this amount of time, like, all of a sudden, like, so much of that's going to get ripped away from you instantaneously. And, like, now mm-hmm. you might spend Tuesdays playing chess, you know?
Yeah.
Like your whole identity
you might spend them with Maury. You never know. Yes. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Maury Povich. Tuesdays.
How was Maury Povich's pandemic? I would like to know.
Man, I miss. Was there a Maury Povich and Jerry Springer? Mm-hmm. Nothing like 3 p.m., like somehow knocking off of school or whatever and watching that shit. I miss that a lot.
Agree. You know what the best programming was? Is you would get Prices Right in the morning. Then you watch a couple of reruns, and then, you had your Jerry Springer into Oprah, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Oprah was at 4. And I mean, if you were...
Well, what about TRL?
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course, yeah. TRL, you flicked, too.
Flipped over. Flipped over. Yeah. Exactly.
Yes. Nothing like a Kurt Loder MTV News update. That's like how I learned breaking news. Like, that's how I learned Kurt Cobain died. I'm really dating myself. But
no, same.
Yeah. I think that's how I found out Phil Hartman died.
Kurt Loder.
Did they only tell us about dead people? There were never updates about really anything else, was there?
I'm sure there was, but I think we were just, those are the only ones sticking out.
Yeah, we were of the age. I always have a special place in my heart for TRL because I feel like, do you guys participate in like the, when they got New Kids on the Block up to number 2? Like years after.
No.
Oh man, God. It was this whole thing. They got Hangin' Tough. Like they randomly, it was like an online like email, like on this day, everybody request Hangin' Tough. And it got up to like number 2 on the charts. And I think it was like the first time our generation came together as people.
That's great.
We used our democracy. It was like, that's how we learned about democracy. It was like, my vote does matter. Oh my God.
And now here we are.
Well, you don't remember lessons forever, but
you know what that reads to me? It's very GameStop AMC.
Oh yes, very much totally. So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, very, very, very early stonks for sure.
Yeah. We have to take a break. Before we go to break, I did want to shout out to our listener who called and left a voicemail. She had told us that she'd gotten into this weird thing where her face got burned, and we just wanted to shout her out and say we love you and just thank you for leaving us such a sweet message and letting us.
You've got this. We're rooting for you. You're gonna do great. All right,
we love you guys. We'll be back in a sec.
Bye. Hey everybody, welcome back to Lady, I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Kate and Doria, Forever 35, and we're gonna play a game with you guys. Yay. Very serious to get to know you better.
Okay.
It's called, wait, which one are we?
That's so random.
Okay, there it is.
Abe Lincoln's my dad.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so random.
Right?
Oh my God.
I didn't make it up.
Oh my God, I can't, it's just like, that's so random.
So random.
So freaking random.
It really honestly is.
So freaking random.
That's so random.
Not raving.
What you're telling me right now is so random.
I can't even.
That's a random.
My God.
Random.
I don't know if you guys know how to make music, but you basically just repeat the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
And that becomes a song.
If you all have listened to Sour by Olivia Rodrigo, you know that that is the truth.
Mm. Yay! We're
you're
like Olivia Rodrigo.
On par with Olivia Rodrigo is what yes, I'm for saying. Us.
Thank you
obviously.
So much.
We are opening for her, so mm-hmm. that makes sense. Okay, so yeah, this is basically just, like the question said, random questions.
Yeah.
Please answer as you see fit. You don't have to have the same answer. You're allowed to have separate.
Yes.
Separate.
But you can if
opinions.
You want.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
I'm going to send you ESP.
I mean, we do often do a lot of things alike. It's getting awkward.
All right.
Is it?
It is. Oh. Like we show up in the same outfit kind of vibes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
That kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. All right. We're ready.
Okay. What are some red flags to watch out for in daily life?
Ooh, okay. Someone who, like a person who tries to too intensely befriend you.
Yes.
Great answer.
No matter where they are, how you meet them, like the person who too intensely pursues the friendship, that is a red flag for me.
Someone, I just had that. Oh, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say someone who is not nice to their dog.
Yes.
Big another red flag. Great answer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyone who's not nice to a service worker.
Yep.
Restaurant, wherever. Nope.
Yeah. These are very good. Man, I don't think I've seen someone like be mean to a dog in a long time. It's like so jarring.
Yeah.
Oh, it's really awful. It just hurts my soul. Yeah.
That kind of like they jerk really hard on the like, oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know. You want to just like steal the dog.
Those leashes where you can tell it's like hurting the dog.
Yeah, the choke collars. Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, also like someone who litters.
Oh, man. Yeah. Litter bugs.
We've talked about this. Breaker. I physically can't litter. Like there's every once in a while I'll be like, I'm even going to pick it back up. But can I drop a piece of trash even on the ground? And I like physically can't do it. It like hurts me.
Like who litters in this day and age?
People do it all the time. I see people throw shit out of their car window all the time.
Me too.
And it's like, hello, you have a car. That's a trash can.
Thank you. You clean that out twice a year. Yeah. In your own trash.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
Just live in it.
My car is literally covered in rotting things at all times. And that's just how I choose to live. And I pollute the earth.
Yes.
And,
like, my car cleanliness is upgraded only because we got a nicer car and it's like required because...
Yeah.
The clean person shares it with me now. But I remember in my old car finding a banana that like could have been from the dinosaur age.
Yeah.
Like, it was like not just rotten, it like petrified itself.
How about when you find those bananas in your bag?
Such a bummer. I outed myself actually because Sean, keeps his car very clean. Like there's nary a gum wrapper that doesn't get disposed of right away. And I'm just a trash fire. And and he never is in my car, but his car was in the shop. And I was like, do you want to ride to work? And he got in my car and it was just so funny. Just like the visceral disgust on his face.
Oh my God.
It's like, yeah. This is what you're married to. This
Is
my
kind of like
this is my little dirty
ride.
Place.
Yeah, you're stuck with me.
Yeah. I have one more, which is like very topical and will not hopefully like be forever. But when you're in a place where you're required to wear a mask on your face and someone has it below their nose, that to me, and it's a purposeful nose below, pending a health reason, I am judging that person now.
I mean, speaking of red flag, anti-vaxxer.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Huge red flag.
Huge red flag.
I'm gonna I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm gonna close the window where there's yard noise. Los Angeles yard noise.
Where there are anti-vaxxers listening to us.
The unvaccinated are milling about.
Yeah. They're just right outside the door. Yeah.
I was talking about this with a friend who's back on film sets and she was talking about how, you know, some people on set are like anti-vax and things like that. And I was like, oh, I haven't had to deal like IRL with a lot of, you know, it's like mostly been like distant from me on the internet. And I don't know, what do I do just in person with someone?
There's nothing to do. Yeah. That's what's annoying about it. It's like,
Yeah. I mean, unless they started giving us like vigilante vaccines that we could be like, oh yeah, ka-ka. That's its own.
I will say the friend thing. I just had someone really try to aggressively befriend me in Twitter DMs. And it was the girlfriend of a comedian I know who she's very sweet. I mean, we've met a few times. Mm-hmm. Just randomly started to go hard. Like she gave me a dental recommendation, which thank you. Cause I think I tweeted about needing dentist.
That's nice. Yeah. It's good. And her, like, I do have to say good in.
That was, good in. Yeah. Great. She saw her in and she went for it. But then there was just like some intense invites to hangouts. And I was like, sorry.
Well, it's weird. I have sympathy for that. Right.
Me too.
Because, like it's like a pink flag for me. It's not, it's not like a huge red flag for me because it is really hard to make friends as an adult. And like, especially now coming out of a pandemic, like, how are you supposed to make friends? And I think people have also kind of lost social graces.
Totally.
And so, you know, something that could seem like super intense to you, like, could just be someone who's like super fucking lonely.
You know, I said that and now I want to retract it and I feel like a monster because I think you're right. And I do think there is also like there's also like a behavior, I think, sometimes with people that our instinct, like you can just kind of tell there is something that doesn't feel that makes you feel uncomfortable. Do you know,
you know what I think it is? It's like pursuit? That brand of manipulative person that clearly has like relied on their charm to manipulate people.
Yes.
And that's where that like aggressive friendshipness is coming. Friendshipness? Aggressive attempt at becoming friends with you is like coming from is their use. It feels like that's their opening move is to just like be really charming and try to like overstep. Yes.
And I definitely have fallen for that in the past. And you know, you kind of like see these people who like have instant best friends, but like a new instant best friend like every 6 months. And that is kind of a red flag to me.
Yeah, I think it's more about, it's not like somebody wanting to be friends with you. It's more about if they, you can tell that it's like, oh, it doesn't matter who it is. They just like want to like attach to someone. Yeah. Sort of.
And also it's like, where's anybody like, oh, you're inviting me to literally everything. We're not like at that place yet. You know,
right,
it's like,
totally.
Or it's the like asking of a really intense like favor of you and you don't really know each other. That always stresses me out.
That is so stressful.
Well, this is, it's a boundary thing too, because you're like, you haven't earned like that next level where, you know, we're not at that place yet.
Well, and it's like, it's like, can like take a hint, right? Like if you say no to a bunch of things, like maybe it's time to move on. I don't know. I'm obviously of two minds about this.
Well, but I think you're right though, Dori. Like we've talked a lot about on our show about making friends as an adult and how awkward and hard it is. Like it's so weird, and like knowing how like you are essentially trying to date people as you make friends as an adult. So you're right. I don't want to speak out of turn about that, because that is something I do feel strongly about.
But it's also, and like, I have like made friends. Okay.
And I was just going to say, like, behavior that could feel stalkerish if unrequited is, like, different when you feel the same way. Like, if someone's reaching out to you and is, like, super excited to hang, and you're like, oh, my God, like, I'm so excited to hang out with this person, then, like, that's different than if you're kind of trying to blow them off and they keep, like, going after you. And that is true whether it's a friendship or dating. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's about the follow-up, because like I said, like I mentioned before, those people that are like maybe just acquaintances but you actually would be excited to get lunch or dinner with them, but you know, you're both busy and yada yada, maybe you would be excited to hear from someone like that, like, hey, yeah, you're right, we've never gotten together and that would be fun. But I think it's about like if you don't get a reply from that, and it just then it becomes one-sided. And yes, that is with professional, romantic, platonic.
Oh, yeah. Everything. I've got some weirdo on my Facebook right now that, like, I don't know who it is. I'm not friends with them even, but I have maybe 7 different, just one word, like, oh, my God. Hey. Hi. Hey. What's up? Sup? Wait. Hey.
Is it bleep this out, Sam?
Huh?
Slade?
Oh, let me look. I don't know their name. It's just some.
It's this random guy's been messaging me those things at 3 a.m. Just, hey, hi, 3 a.m. And I was like, hey, will you stop doing this? I don't know you, you know. And then he asked me to be on his podcast, and I was like, I'm super busy right now. And then he asked me again, and I was like, block. I'm
different. Different person.
Great. Of course. I was like, you're not following any boundaries here.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do another question.
All right.
What's the worst day of the week?
They're all bad.
I mean, for me, now that I have a 2-year-old, it's honestly Sunday, because it's just like a super long day. I have to come up with shit for him to do all day.
There's, you know, no like structure.
There's no structure. There's no childcare. My husband and I also have a podcast, and we record it on Sundays. And so there's just like, it feels like a work day, but I also have to take care of my kid. So like someone, it's funny because our, we have someone who runs our Forever 35 Instagram, and she recently wanted to post something about like, what do you do for self-care Sundays? And I was like, Sundays are not self-care Sundays for me. Like that is the opposite of self-care.
Sundays are an all out 24/7.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But if you had asked me before I had kids, I probably would have said Monday.
Yeah.
It's a classic.
Yeah, classic. I mean, Garfield, right? Like,
Of course. I think it's Wednesday.
That's what I think too. Which is also why we drop our episodes on Wednesday, to just give everyone a little Get over that hump, baby.
Yes, smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is just something about where it's just like, oh my God, are you kidding me? It's only the middle of this week. Like, it just, it always feels like not enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Wednesdays are really, I agree. I can hit the beginning of a Wednesday and just be like, oh God. Yes. And then once Thursday hits, you're like, we're out of the woods.
Yeah. Yeah,
for some reason.
You know what, though? Thursday. I have to say, you guys, as you're talking, I'm thinking, I think I love Wednesdays. And I think I know why. As much as possible, I Friday my Wednesdays.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. I Friday my Wednesdays. I'll go to the bookstore. I'll get a fucking glass of wine at lunch. Like, oh, I Friday my Wednesdays. Yep.
But then what is your is your Thursday a Saturday?
Well, okay, so I should say I have a very unconventional schedule.
Yeah, Thursday through Saturday is Saturday. Thursday through Sunday is Saturday.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think we work all the time on Wednesdays, so is this true? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe it's because right now I have my Spanish lesson on Wednesday morning, so that's like the one time I don't have a work meeting. It's like something different besides work. Yeah. But yeah, all things considered, I recommend taking it easy on Wednesday. I recommend upping the self-care on Wednesday for that reason. And then it becomes fun.
Great. Getting to the bottom of everything. All right. All right, guys. What do you know about birds?
Okay.
That's so random, baby.
No, it's this not. Is a good... I'm really interested to hear this.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, so okay, this is a long-winded answer. I don't know much about birds, but my mom loved birds, and like I have a very vivid memory of like when I went home to take care of her when she was sick. She died of cancer, and I would have to go by bird feed seed. Like, she was obsessed with feeding all our birds in the yard. So like, that was one of the hot things I had to do for my dying mom, was like, make sure the bird seed was ready and like feed the birds. And so I have this kind of sentimental attachment to birds, but I know fucking nothing about birds. And there are birds nesting in my yard right now, and I from afar I had thought they had taken, you know, when you get a package and there's that like scrunched up little paper inside. It's almost like if you get a nice, I don't know how to describe it, I don't know. Anyway, if you get a package with kind of little shredded pieces of paper make
like
it look
corrugated.
All pretty.
Yeah.
So I had like created this whole story about these birds that had built this nest, and they had like must have found one of like the gift boxes I had thrown outside to recycle and taken all this corrugated paper. And then I got up really close to look, and I realized they'd actually built their nest out of shit. And what I had thought was the paper was just layers of bird poop. And it's like attached to a part of my house, which means when they leave, I'm going to have to deal with this like poop nest.
Yeah.
And I didn't know birds made parts of their nest out of poop. So that is something I can share with you, that whatever kind of bird this is, they're very loud. They've got three babies in my yard and they make poop nests.
Oh, my God.
That's all I got.
It's kind of like me and Tessa's cars, basically.
Yeah, essentially, they've got that rotting banana up there.
I know. Wow. I love how I'm like judging these birds. I'm like, that's despicable. How could you make a nest in your own poop? And then, Babs, you did bring it back.
I will say, like, I enjoy birds for the most part, but the poop, I could do without.
We had a hummingbird build a nest outside our front door, and Kate told me it was her mom.
Aww.
But then it flew in Dory's house.
And then it flew in my house.
Whoa.
So what happened? We eventually got it out, but it was very touch and go.
Whoa. Yeah.
And my son was terrified of it. It was really sad.
They're wild.
Was it just flying? Was it just like freaking out?
It was freaking out. It was like, but it was like hovering by the ceiling, and then it took refuge in a bookcase, like on top of a bookcase.
That's adorable.
And we were like, hey, like, please go back to your natural habitat.
Yeah, go outside.
When Disney stuff happens in real life with animals, it doesn't feel as good.
That is so true.
You're thinking like, this bird's going to come in and make me a dress, and really it's just like freaking the fuck out.
Yeah.
Every time I try to get some mice to put a necklace on for me, it's like disaster.
Yeah, terribly wrong. I do have a squirrel that lives in the palm tree outside of my house that comes down and twerks at my dog. That's really fun.
Actually, we've got some squirrel dog drama going on too. And that, I must
ask you, have you noticed how big squirrel nuts are?
like the nuts
they're fucking
on a male
ball
squirrel.
Sack.
The nuts on their bodies.
Their nut sack is out of control. And I was dying laughing the other day. Like, what a funny trick of nature that squirrels have huge nuts.
Wow.
You know what's funny? I guess in my mind, all squirrels are female. And I know that's not true, but I don't think I've ever seen a squirrel's ball sack. So.
Oh, man. Maybe you have a girl squirrel.
She's definitely a lady because she has a couple of kids over here.
Oh man,
yeah, she helps them up to the top of the pine tree because they can't the palm tree because they can't quite get there on their own yet. So she nudges them up, but then she comes down and turns around and goes meh, 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 and twerks at my dog from the porch, and he goes crazy. It's very funny.
Is Jackson throwing ones out or what?
Yeah, basically, he's just like, get a little bit closer.
Well, okay, Dory, do you have any bird? Hot bird facts for us?
You know, I don't really have bird facts. We were out of town this weekend. We went to the Central Coast and we went on this nature walk where there were like so many different birds. Mm-hmm. And my husband kept pointing to me and he'd be like, oh, look, those are geese. Oh, those are pelicans. And I was like, oh, cool. Like,
were these like, did you not know what geese or pelicans were? Or
No, I did. But like he realized, I think he knew that it was geese because they fly in a V formation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
And then he like saw the pelicans. And as soon as he said, oh, those are pelicans, I was like, oh, yeah, of course, those are pelicans. But like he was more like on it than I was.
Yeah, I like know. I don't need to identify that bird can
he
just live in mystery.
Yeah,
for sure.
I was like, oh, seagulls could identify those.
Was he birdsplaining you?
To be fair, I don't think he was birdsplaining me.
Okay, good.
I have actually really been trying to change my relationship with pigeons because I'm
big
terrified
news.
Of them. I'm really, really scared of pigeons. Like, they're such unpredictable animals, and like they just seem, I just have to, I don't know, I guess because I've always lived in big cities, I've had a lot of near pigeon encounters, you know, but they're very, I like all other animals, and I'm like, I've got to get over this thing I have with pigeons, so I'm just trying to like learn more about them.
Oh,
so
that's
that
interesting. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're very misunderstood.
I do too. Like, I only read the book review of this, not the actual book, but there's a book that came out recently about pigeons. So like in the diamond mines down in like South Africa, it's horrible. Like the people that work in those mines, they make them like get naked and they check them for diamonds when they leave work at the end of the day.
Jesus.
But what they do is they attach diamonds to pigeons, and the pigeons are so smart. They're able to help them like traffic out diamonds from these mines and like put them in like specific locations.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, we use pigeons as carrier pigeons and like for messages and stuff. I wonder why, like, if that is a bird that is more suited towards that or like able to tame more than like other birds.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're just really smart. Is part of it. It'd
be funny to be like, I want a pigeon diamond for my ring. Specifically, must have been transferred by a pigeon.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the last good deal you got?
Kate just sat up a little bit to be like, ooh, I gotta really think about the answer to this.
Hear about this.
Yeah. Ooh.
It's a hard question to ask because it could involve,
Hold on. It's going to come to me. Well, here's something that happened to me today. I went to go buy an iPad at the Apple store and it sold out to like July. And the Apple person who was helping me was like, hold on, let me check Best Buy for you. And then was like, oh yeah, you can get it at Best Buy in like 2 weeks. And I was like, okay. And he's like, just buy it all
day.
Are
you allowed to say that?
I know. I was like, what's what's happening? And it was just so, and this person was just like, I just want you to get the product. I don't make commission. And I was like, okay, thank you. And so now I was able to order through Best Buy. And all thanks to this Apple person.
Why were they so sold out? Is it like a new one?
It's a new one that's essentially like a computer, and I'm trying to upgrade my computer situation. So I also did a lot of searching for an eyeliner today at Sephora, and it turns out there's a KVD eyeliner that's a mini, and I was very proud of myself for purchasing the $11 mini as opposed to like the $21 full size. That's not really a deal, but it like makes me think like I'm getting a deal.
I think it's a hack, which is deal adjacent.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think I wish all makeup was available in mini because
yes.
I'm going to lose it before I ever use the whole fucking thing. That's for sure.
Yes.
And yeah. I probably will never end up using the whole thing, even if I keep it. So I wish we just need like a cute miniature Sephora next to Sephora.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, especially
that would be adorable, mascara. Honestly.
Yeah, especially mascara. I feel like I never get to the bottom of a full mascara before it gets
yeah, it
dried
gets
out.
Gross.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. My mascara habits are shameful. I have read so many times. Yeah, you're supposed to throw it away after 3 months or whatever. I think I have mascara from like the Obama administration.
Oh,
I mean, honestly, if a makeup artist, yeah, if they saw my like, if they saw what I do, they would be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, I have no idea. It's just random. But like, yeah, if they saw how old all the shit was, it's bad. I feel like they would like burn everything I own.
Oh, yeah. I like... whatever I put like I will like sometimes if my mascara is dried out I'll like run the brush underwater and just like shove it in there to get the more enough I'm like this I can get a couple more uses out of this whatever.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much would you guys say you hoard makeup?
Well, what do you mean?
You know,
makeup that I don't use on the regular. Yeah. Or yeah. Yeah.
I feel like I see people on Instagram who have way more makeup than me, so I can't. I'm like probably a 5 or something.
Yeah, I think I'm more in the 3 to 4 range because like the stuff that I do have, it's like I use it. And I also implemented at the beginning of quarantine. I was like, you're not buying any new beauty products until you have thrown away and used up everything that you do have, which will take me probably 3 to 4 years to get through because I have lots of lotions that I've used 3 times and been like, not quite there. But
and you're
going
like, to use them? You're actually going to
use them. I'm going to use them. I'm using them all up. I've been through like several bottles of things that have, like, I have more counter space than ever before in my bathroom now because of it. It's very exciting.
What do you guys think?
I feel like I am like an 8 or a 9 because I have trouble throwing things away, even if I don't use them that much. So if you, and it's not like I have a ton of makeup, but the makeup I have, some of it is stuff that I have not used in 3 years, but it still exists, you know, in my collection.
Exactly.
It somehow makes it through that, like, you're like, I'm gonna have a spring cleaning and yet still the makeup stays.
Yes. And I'm like, oh, I might wear this lipstick someday, I should keep it, but like, no, I'm not going to. It's not gonna happen.
No, like, if you haven't had a purple lip day in the last 2 years, you're probably never gonna have one.
Yes. I mean, I did. Dory, remember you were cleaning out your makeup maybe 3 years ago and you gave me a Chanel lipstick that was red?
Yes. Yes, yes, I do.
Okay. I just used that like recently for either like a Zoom or maybe going out.
But that is at least
I used it. That is a secondhand lipstick that is, I think it's got to be 3 years old.
Oh, and, yeah. Okay, as someone who used some of this, are you glad you had it?
Yes, and I'm fine. Like, this is kind of, like, I believe that you should throw out your makeup, but I also am kind of like, what's the harm in using this very old makeup? Like, nothing, there's been no evidence in my own experience that old makeup is inherently bad for me.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, and this is because I, by the way, would put myself at a hard 9.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Because for me, I have the thing you're talking about not throwing away. Like, first of all, I just feel like I've gotten like free shit that's like pretty and in like cool packaging. And it's like, oh, my God, like cool packaging gets me every time. But it's like this vicious cycle where it's like, I can't throw that away. That's brand new unopened eyeshadow palette.
Yes.
You know, and it just remains unopened, so I keep not throwing it away.
Yeah, I'll like keep a receipt and be like, I'm going to return this if it doesn't look good. And then it's just like both of those things will never see the light of day.
Man, also, anytime like you get something free, I just can't throw out a free thing. Like, speaking of,
you know, what's
good
wrong
deals
with our brains there?
I think it goes back to caveman dates where we were scavengers and we were like, you know, you couldn't get stuff every
like,
day.
I need this lip tint.
Yes. Yeah. We got to like, I mean, like our food and stuff, like we didn't eat every day as like cavemen and stuff. So I think we've expanded that to everything else where it's like, oh, if I don't have this, if I have it now, but I might not have it eventually, so I should have it for the future. I'm justifying a lot of bad behavior with that.
Yeah.
But
well,
I
mean,
think it's us.
It's related to like also if I get something for free and I get compliments on it, I love telling people that I got it for free. Like that is like compliment number two.
Oh yeah, the grift,
I tricked him.
The grift of it all feels amazing to be like, mm-hmm. Can I tell you about the deal that's behind this?
The grift of it all, mm. Our new podcast.
Mm-hmm. My favorite. My favorite.
Okay, we have to take a break. We'll be back with a lady problem, everybody. Hey, I'm Babs Gray, and this is Lady to Lady. I'm Babs Gray.
I'm Brandy Posey.
And I'm Tess Brucker. I guess we're using last names.
Oh, yeah, we're using full names now, I guess.
And we're here with Kate Spencer and Dori Shafrir. And we're going to do a lady problem. If you want to send one, you can email us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com. Or you can call us. Our phone number is 323-6-BUT-30. You can call us to leave a cackle. You can call us to leave a lady problem. You can call us to leave a thought that we might end, leave at the end of the show.
You, if you have a thought, T-H-O-T, that you want to drop off, email us. All maybe thoughts we can work welcome. Something out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lady problems. Lady problems, do you have them? Lady problems, do you have them? People have them.
Okay, so this is an audio one. Play it now.
Hi, ladies. I have a lady problem. It's not a major problem, but I feel like it's something a lot of people could probably relate to. So I wanted to call and get all of your opinions. My problem is that I don't know how to convince my husband to go to therapy. I have been in therapy on and off for a couple years now, and I haven't found it to be like a major life-changing event, but I feel like it really helps to have someone to talk to, and we've moved to where we live now a couple years ago, and we don't have a lot of friends here. So I don't feel like he really has anyone to talk to besides me. And I know he has a lot of anxiety and trouble sleeping because of that. And he recently told me that he's kind of angry in general, which kind of freaked me out because we're expecting our first baby later this year. And I don't really want any anger to be happening. I'm not really sure what he meant by that. And anyway, I just feel like it would be beneficial for him to talk to someone. Because sometimes I feel like just talking about what's bothering you helps you work it out yourself almost. So that's my problem. How do you convince someone to go to therapy that isn't in desperate need of help but could benefit from talking to someone, especially men who I think have a harder time opening up sometimes? Thanks, ladies. Love the pod. I came over from MFM. And I'm so happy you're on the Exactly Right Network. Okay, thanks.
Well, thanks for calling in. Yeah,
thank you.
So the problem is men / what to do.
God.
You know, I was talking to my therapist recently about this, telling her about someone who I, you know, love, who I would like to go to therapy. And she said, you know, they had lost someone recently. And she was like, well, you might want to present it to them as being like, you know, do you want to try to go to grief counseling? And she kind of suggested pairing it with like a specific event that was happening that might make it seem like more like it's not so just like generic or something, you know. So I don't know if there's something going on with you guys that you might want to point to that might help him like think about it and be less like generalized.
I mean, they're having a kid. That might be a good reason.
Yeah, I can't imagine like what I mean. I'm sure we, you know, none of us have kids, but I'm sure you guys
the
can
three of us.
Talk about like just I can't imagine what's going through your head as you're preparing for that for the first time. So it's got to be a lot too.
We had a guest on Forever 35 who works in this field. Her name's Dr. Lizzie Cleary, and I think she suggested kind of framing it with the person as something nice to do for themselves. Mm. And this resonated with me because anytime I've tried to convince someone to go to therapy, I've done what I think a lot of people do, which is like, you really need to go. Like, you've got to deal with this thing.
Yeah.
And the way she kind of positioned it was like, why don't you, you know, suggest to them like it will really feel good for you. Like, this is a nice thing you can do for yourself. That like, you know, it kind of made it a lot less of like, you're fucked up and you need help, which I think is how I've always gone about it.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I'm in therapy and I love it. But the other thing I've kind of learned as a person is that like, it is, might not be for everyone, even though, you know, the person would benefit from it. Like there is no, you know, it's the leading the horse to water situation. And I think that can sincerely apply to therapy.
Yeah, I think it definitely can. And I think it's also like, I think the important thing is that they have like an outlet for those feelings in some way, where it's like, he doesn't have any friends. He's like, where you guys have moved to, but like, so he's not doing any activities or anything that could like burn off extra anxiety or anything like that. Like, I know when like when my mom passed away, like I'm a person that wants to like, I process things through talking. So I was really into therapy. And my little brother is like not really that much of a talker, but he got like, he was like doing a lot of like BMX, like mountain biking on the weekend with his friends and stuff. So like physically working stuff out was like how he kind of processed all of that. And he's like, you know, like, and that's not, and that's like, he would mention it here and there, but he like didn't, that wasn't the way that he worked through issues and stuff. So it's like, what is the, like the language to like, to get to what's going on? Like, is he a more tactile person? Like, you know, when you guys did live in a place where like you had other couples and like friends around, like what did he do there that made him, that was making him feel better and not be as pent up? And like, is there like something more similar to that here?
Yeah. What's his like catharsis vehicle?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, I love, sorry, my phrase. Dog is being a jerk.
Hey,
my catharsis vehicle is, the Mystery Machine.
What's that?
It's from Scooby-Doo.
Oh,
man. Yeah.
I think it's hard too because it's like, I mean, societally, we also do like, we've got a lot better, I think, with it. But like, there is weird, like, men are not encouraged to open up by in a societal way. And like, there is so much toxic masculinity that like makes them victims, I think, some as much, if not more sometimes than, you know, than everybody else in society. So it's also like, does he view it as a weakness? Does he view it as, you know, sorry, my dog is being very toxically masculine right now. If you're hearing him barking in the background, like, Jack, you have a prop. He needs therapy, but he won't go because he can't speak.
Well, not English. At least.
Not English. Not, he's human. Very chatty right now. Either way. But yeah. No, so it's. I don't know. I'd be curious to know like how he like defines a man and like what kind of father he wants to be. Maybe it's like reading books on fatherhood, because it's like, you know, I would assume like having kids, it's like there's so many emotions that come with that, like, you know, from the way that like you were raised by your parents and like how you want to be and how you don't want to be. And like, maybe, I mean, I don't if he's a reader, maybe something like that. Or if, I don't know if there's documentaries that, or any support groups for like new fathers or things like that that he could look into.
I mean, there is those. Yeah, there are those billboards that are like howtobeadad.org or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Know. So that's,
I don't know what that, yeah, we don't know if that's a good
one. Have you never seen those?
No. I mean,
there's literally, there's, I've seen
those,
piss
me off so bad. Go on.
I've seen them. I do not know if it's good or not, so I'm not,
I find so them so sexist. Go yeah. on.
They are very sexist. I'm just, that was just a stupid joke. Yeah. That was not an actual
there's
suggestion.
This like ad campaign where it's like how to be a dad, and it's like shows a dad helping a kid on a bike or like just being a fucking parent. The yeah. presumption being that moms just do it naturally and dads need a fucking billboard to know how to put their kid on a bike.
There's actually one where it's like a green blob helping another green blob like ride a bike, and it's like being a dad. It's
really hey weird. Hey, if you a Mucinex child needs a Mucinex father.
I mean, I just binge watched like half of Mare of Easttown last night. Stayed up till 3:30. Bad choice.
Oh my
choice,
god, I'm so jealous.
Yeah, but you know, this is not a huge spoiler alert, but she is a detective in it and she goes to therapy, and you kind of see just even a montage of her like talking and stuff like that. you guys should watch that show together and be like, wow, look at that. Because she goes in being like, this isn't going to do shit for me. You know what I mean? And so you'd be like, look at that. She didn't think it was going to do anything. And now she's talking. Don't take any of my advice.
This got me thinking, what do straight guys love more than anything in the world? The Sopranos. Pop in The Sopranos.
He great goes to therapy. Mm-hmm. Loves therapy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tough guy.
Watch TVs with a lot of therapy and be like, watch TVs with a lot of therapy.
I mean, there's debatable Dr. Katz. whether Tony Soprano was actually helped by therapy.
God damn it, you're right.
Good question. Good point. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But it's tough.
Yeah.
Like Kate said, it's like you can't. It's, you know, the way you approach it is really important, but unfortunately, yeah, it's like they have to make that choice. And I think you can approach it with the nice thing of being like, you know, the thing this would be really good for you. It's something you should do for yourself. You know, you're both under a lot of pressure and like, this would be great. And then if that fails, be like, do it for me, motherfucker, because you need to do it.
Well, it's also like, I mean, he says he's like angry. It's like, what are you angry about? Like, you need to figure that out because you're about to have a kid with this person, which is going to bind you together one way or another for the rest of your lives.
The angry thing is definitely concerning because it's like, it's good that he's recognizing that and he's actually saying it. You know, I think that's a good, like, good that he's just vocalizing that, but definitely, yeah, it shouldn't just be you. And maybe you can make that point too. It's like, you know, look, we just have each other right now. Like, we can't be each other's only support system. It's just not healthy. So either go do some BMXing or learn how to talk to someone.
I don't know. What do you guys think? Your parents? any thoughts?
Parenthood, it is, I'm kind of grappling with this because I do feel like this sounds like this is a heterosexual relationship, right? Between a man and a woman.
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
And so there's a part of me that is frustrated by the gender roles of like a woman, the woman partner having to like solve, you know, having to take on the emotional labor of like trying to get her partner to go to therapy. And I know that's something that happens in a lot of heterosexual relationships. I'm sure in other relationships too. Mm-hmm. So there's a part of me that feels frustrated. And perhaps going to therapy together might be good for these people, because parenthood is a thing they're going to need to be doing together. And you aren't always on the same page. I don't think there's any, you know, like team of parents that are always perfectly in sync or on the same page. But I do think there are like, there's a lot to discuss there. And it's better to kind of go into the experience knowing where you both stand than discovering those things on like 2 hours of sleep when you're covered in a baby's shit and, you know, your nipples are leaking. You know, I mean, there's just, it's the early, especially the early days, and they're having a child biologically, right? I can't remember if they specified.
I believe so.
Yeah, because I'm making like general assumptions.
They said they're expecting their first baby later this year, so I'm pretty sure.
So perhaps they're adopting. I don't want to assume, but I do think that is something you want to be on the same page about. And if your partner is dealing with like anger issues, depression, loneliness, like that is going to ultimately affect how they are, not just as a parent to your kid, but like as a partner to you as you parent.
Yeah, I think being on the same page about things is so important. And like, we don't get education about how to be a parent. And I think people assume that it's just something that you like know how to do instinctively, but like, it's not. I think like parenting classes are really important for everyone. And also just kind of going into it with this, you know, at least a similar outlook is really important. And so I would encourage this listener to try to do that with her partner before she has the baby, for sure.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because like you said, like especially you're about to go into a situation where you are going to be like sleep deprived and like just going through like a bunch of other bullshit that could just like make everything just feel so much more heightened. That like if you have the opportunity to like hash things out now in a little bit more of like a calm chill setting than like, and maybe that's the pitch to the husband. It's like, let's kind of like, used to kind of say almost like exactly that, you know, like we're fortunate enough to have this time before the baby comes, like let's use that to really like get ready.
And I think I do like the idea of also couching it in like, not maybe thinking of it as therapy, but just like, okay, we're preparing for the next phase of this thing, where, and you know, we're going to, you know, I think couples counseling is a great idea, or talking to like a baby expert or something, to just family planning, you know, to kind of like get to that place together. Cause then it's like, there's tasks, there's things to do, there's a point. Not therapy obviously also has a point, but I could see if he's this resistant, him not understanding the point, but having like actual, like, you know, things that you're working on in it might be more of a sell for him, hopefully.
But yeah, I also agree with Kate. I'm just tired of sexism everywhere.
Yeah, it's, oh, I'm sorry God. That you have to put up with this, but unfortunately.
It's like, why? Like, exactly. So that's just another fucking job for this woman. Yeah. I guarantee you, you know what I mean? She probably is the one who put the registry together, made sure the invites were out for the shower.
Yeah, and it's like systemic in that, like, culturally, like you were saying, like, you know, there's the whole world of toxic masculinity and men not communicating and all that. And then it's individual, right? It's like taking place in this relationship, and it's a burden on this one, this woman. And then it's like the larger bullshit also. And so it just feels so incredibly frustrating and unfair.
Yeah.
And I would say, like, you know, you kind of said like, it's not that big of a deal, but I think like, just give yourself some credit that you are I'm sure carrying a lot, and that you deserve to, you know, be with a partner who's willing to do that. And so don't try to like diminish what you want and how you're feeling.
Yeah. And there's like so much, I feel like, culturally that comes along with, you know, starting a family, where it's like gender reveal parties and push presents and all these kind of superficial things, when like ultimately, like, the, like Dory was saying, not, you know, taking care of our mental health through pregnancy as a couple and individual, like that kind of gets pushed by the wayside and is so important. And so I think you can also frame it as like, I need this from you in order for this to work for me. You know, like if
I'm so scared to ask what a push present is.
Yes. Oh, I've never heard that.
It is a present that a spouse might get the person who gives birth to the child. I mean, I think it's like you push the baby out and then you get a present is, I think, where the term comes from.
That's is this common?
I think it is. It's not something that happened in my relationship, but I think it is a thing that happens. Yeah.
Like, is this the same crowd that does gender reveal parties? Like, are they kind of...
I think it's like, one, I think it can be nice that a spouse is getting their partner something to like honor the birth of a child. But then there's also like, for my, you know, like a push present, I want this ring. And it just starts to be like, what?
Yeah, it sits really uncomfortably with me. Because I hate
want
that
an
it's
edible
like...
arrangement, please.
That sounds honestly great.
Yeah. But... yeah. Honestly, we've said it before. Everybody loves an edible arrangement.
Yeah. No. Also, there is one that, if you're not a bonus listener to Lady to Lady, patreon.com/Lady to Lady. But there is an edible arrangement that you can get that just says sorry.
So, pineapple letters. Yeah. It says sorry. Yeah. So maybe you could rearrange those letters to say something more exciting than sorry for the push present.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. She could name the kid Rossi.
Yes.
Boom.
Yeah. There you go. In. Perfect.
Just so you can give them that at that moment.
Yeah, perfect.
Well, good luck. Thanks for writing into us. And, you know, if all else fails, you can always play him this podcast. And see how that goes.
Maybe play this while you're in labor, just so, like, he really gets the...
Yeah.
This is his push present.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Doctor, hit it. And then Lady Problem starts.
Well, that's our show. I definitely want to make sure to shout out again to Dory's new book, Thanks for Waiting, The Joy and Weirdness of Being a Late Bloomer. We have a lot of people write in and ask us about, you know, kind of those same things. It's like, how do I make friends when I get older? And they feel like they are blooming too late. One person wrote in late recently and asked, like, when's my popcorn kernel going to pop?
Oh.
So Do you want to like give us, you know, your blurb, if you will?
Yeah. I mean, my blurb is basically that I got married at 38 and I had my first kid at 41. And I really felt like I found my professional groove at 40 when I started the podcast with Kate. And I just feel like I spent so much of my 20s and 30s freaking out that I was behind and comparing myself to other people. And actually, when we were having that conversation about FOMO earlier, I think a big theme of my book is that I had like life FOMO of like what everyone else was doing and I wasn't. And it took me a long time to really come to terms with that and realize that like, truly, it was about the journey. And if I hadn't gone through all the shit that I went through, including having a one-night stand with a breathalyzer salesman, I would not be where I am today.
That's great.
That's a great, wow, what a great tidbit. I already wanted, yeah, I'm very excited. Okay, that's great.
That's awesome.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, everyone go check it out, the book. It's available now, so I'm assuming you can get it on, you know,
everywhere. Books are sold. Yep.
Books are sold. Awesome. And yeah, thank you guys so much. Everyone, if you're not already subscribed, go subscribe to Forever 35. And is there anything else y'all want to shout out before we leave?
No, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, this was so fun.
So yeah, fun, guys. Awesome. Thanks for being here.
Yay.
Thank you, ladies. And yeah, if you want to hear our Patreon stuff or Stitcher Premium, go to stitcher.com/premium, or you can go to patreon.com/ladytolady and hear our bonus episodes, our beef of the week, and you can vote on what you want to see us eat in our eating contest that is coming up. If we get to 250 patrons by my birthday on July 16th, we are going to do an eating contest.
So far, it looks like pie's in the lead.
Oh,
so
my God.
Pie's leading hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pie's leading hard. Yeah. So,
pie, peeps, or
Watermelon.
Watermelon. Yeah.
I knew it was going to be pie. So.
No one was going to let us eat watermelon.
I know.
Someone said they did vote for watermelon to be nice. So
oh, thank you.
You can, yeah, anybody can go vote. If you go to patreon.com/ladytolady, it's open to the public, so you can go vote for it. But while you're there, might as well sign up and actually, you know, see when it happens. So thank you guys again so much for doing the show.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Ooh, jinx.
Rain. Yeah, there it is.
We did it.
Yeah. All right. See y'all next time.
Bye. Bye.
3, 2, 3, 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hi, ladies. So I was just listening to one of your more recent episodes, and Tess was talking about the stampede that she started at a rave. And I'm curious, Tess, was that by any chance EDC 2009? Because I was there. That was actually my first rave. And I was with my boyfriend at the time. We were over by the stage. And people used to, you know, started off being able to go between the stage area and the stands and exit the vicinity. And sorry, I'm out of breath. and all of a sudden, security closed the passage between the two areas. And people started to freak out. And there was an area where there was a fence that got knocked over. People started to just climb over the fence, and my boyfriend and I at the time were like, hey, now's our chance. Let's go ahead and join the stampede. And I actually almost died at that time too, because we walked over to this place. It was like a big concrete block area that was must have housed some kind of equipment. And he climbed up on it first, and then he pulled me up to climb up on there next, and he kind of let go too soon. And I almost fell backwards about 8 feet on my back. So, yeah, anyway, just wanted to see if that was the same rave. And, yeah, funny that all these years later, that comes up again. Anyway, you ladies are amazing. Thank you for all the entertainment. And, yeah, keep it up. Thanks. Love you guys.
Okay, so I've never done this before, so I'm a little nervous. But I'll try to be quick. I'm driving, too. Sorry. So, okay. Here is my little kind of moment of shame on the haunches of the accidental LinkedIn viewing situation. Okay, so one day I was just, you know, like it was a Sunday afternoon. I was feeling good. I was just kind of like just cleaning the house, kind of ready to start my day. I was going to go out or something. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to take care of business and, I am going to watch some porn. So nobody was home. It was like the perfect setting. I like had some candles and I was like, I'm going to treat myself this afternoon, you know, release some endorphins, kind of, start this Sunday off right. So I, do my thing and it went well. I was like, you know, closed my browser and all this. And I'm like showered, going to like leave for the day. And I don't know if you guys have ever been on this phone and watched a video before or like an Instagram video with sound and it kind of like plays still softly in the background, like you can hear it. And so, you know, don't ask me why I'm on the phone while on Instagram. It's just because I'm addicted to Instagram, of course. But, like, so I've always wondered, and I still do, can the person on the phone, like, hear that sound? And so this is what happened. I'm getting in my car, getting ready to leave. I get in my car. I turn my car on, and my phone connects to the Bluetooth in my car. I'm like, whatever, and I'm just sitting in my car, kind of getting ready to leave, and my boyfriend's mom calls me. And we're really close. I've been with him for, like, a long time, so she's almost more like a mother-in-law. So she calls me, and I answer, and because I'm addicted to my phone, I open my phone as I'm on the phone, and immediately the porn video that I was watching starts playing while I'm on the phone, but it's really loud because I'm in my car and my Bluetooth is connected, and it's like she's talking to me, but I'm just hearing like pure like sex noises. It's like aggressive, and I just freaked out, and of course I like freaked out and stopped the video immediately and have no idea to this day if she like heard any of that. She played it off really cool. So I don't know, but like I was so ashamed and so like, what have I done? Like I've ruined this relationship. It was the worst. So one, can people ever hear anything that's playing on your phone while you're on the phone with them? Two, exit and kill your apps. Do not leave porn on your phone, because if you connect to a Bluetooth device, it will play. So, yeah, that's my shame corner.
Hi, ladies. I am currently a new Patreon listening to your backlogged episodes and having so much fun. You're part of my little Sunday Funday moment. I just poured myself a cocktail and I'm about to pack a bowl and do some meal prep. So I just wanted to call and say that you guys are awesome and you're making this teacher's life so much easier through this pandemic. So thanks so much and I hope you guys are having a great day. Bye.